Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast. And today we're with a very prestigious inpatient rehab organization, Health South, here in the East Valley in Arizona. And I'm very fortunate today to have two wonderful guests from the Health South organization here in the East Valley, and also a little bit on the Scottsdale side. We'll talk about that here in a moment. I'd like to introduce our first guest, which is Natasha Berman Clyer, who is the Director of Case Management here at HealthSouth in the East Valley. Welcome, Natasha.
Thank you, Gavin.
And we also have with us the Director of Marketing Operations for Scottsdale here in the East Valley, the Rehab Hospital here in the East Valley, as well as the Scottsdale Rehab Hospital, and that is Diana Fisher. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks again for joining us. So let's start with Natasha. Natasha, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, or something a little bit about yourself that people may not know?
I am from a town of 300 people from Nebraska called St. Laborie, where I grew up and was raised until I moved to Arizona.
300 people.
Yes.
So you knew everybody in town pretty much.
I was related to them.
Nice. Very good. And Diana, how about yourself? Tell us a little about maybe a fun fact about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Kansas, although I've lived kind of everywhere. So I am not a bandwagon Royals fan, but a true Kansas City Royals fan.
Okay. So you've been to the games.
I have. Actually, okay. In college when I was interning, I would every night go buy a $5 general admission seat sit out in the outfield and do my homework and watch the Royals. So that's a diehard.
Oh, man, I bet some of those games you'd rather do homework than watch the game back in those days as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, you paid your dues, so congratulations.
Thanks.
For those listening, this podcast is being recorded shortly after the Royals have won the World Series, so I'm sure Diana is on a high note right now.
Go Blue.
Yeah, very good. I'm a Dodger fan. I say go Blue, too. back to Natasha. Natasha, tell us a little bit about maybe your healthcare background, how you got involved in healthcare, and ultimately how you ended up at HealthSouth.
I started out in community mental health, and I've been in community mental health for 17 years. And about 2.5 years ago, I decided it was time for a change. So I started my search, and HealthSouth was the first place that I applied and got employed on, and have enjoyed it ever since.
Very good. So growing up, healthcare pretty much from a very young age was what you wanted to do, or?
Yes. My dream was to be a child psychologist.
Ah.
So that's where I started, and I started my career as a child therapist and moved up into providing therapy for adults and seriously mentally ill and chemical dependency. And when I needed a change, I decided to go into medical health.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm sure in your role over case management, there's definitely some, you know, counseling pieces involved with you and your team as you discuss tough subjects with patients. So very good. And Diana, how about yourself growing up and getting into healthcare? Tell us about your background.
Well, I originally wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to work with special needs. And in kind of my experience in college, I kind of identified that I wanted to work in healthcare with special needs. So actually, my very first job out of college was with a traumatic brain injury rehab that was owned by HealthSouth. Of course, I didn't know it at the time. It was the greatest job I ever had, and didn't know that either because it was my first job. And then over the years, I've worked with seniors and varying different disability categories, but ultimately came back to acute rehab because it was really my passion and my love. And I think this time around, I've been here almost 5 years. So I always joke and say I'm recycled.
Nice. So let me get some clarity for myself and our audience. I understand certain hospital systems have their own, or there's acute rehab units, and then there's HealthSouth, who is a acute rehab organization. What is there a difference? Can you tell us about that?
Yes, actually, HealthSouth is the nation's largest provider of acute rehab hospitals. So that's all we do. And okay. we are not affiliated with other larger hospital systems. We are owned by HealthSouth Corporation, which is out of Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
So HealthSouth itself owns, I think at this count, about 115 hospitals nationwide, and that includes Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
And this is all we do, inpatient rehab. And a lot of us also do outpatient, and a lot of our divisions also have home health. And what's notable about this particular hospital that we're very proud of at East Valley is that in 2014, out of all 112 hospitals at the time, we were named Hospital of the Year.
Oh.
So we're very proud of that designation. And then this year, we were also named to the HealthSouth President's Circle, which is almost as prestigious. There were only 12 handed out. So in our estimation, this is a pretty phenomenal place to work in rehab.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the clarification there. My first experience with HealthSouth was about 12 years ago, an ambulatory surgery center that was owned by HealthSouth out in California. So I know they've done quite a few things over the years. They also were a sponsor of the LA Kings, which is my favorite hockey team. So HealthSouth has always been a special place for me, and I really, again, appreciate both of you joining us today. So back to you, Natasha. Can you tell us a little bit about your role here as a director of case management at HealthSouth and maybe about some of the successes you've seen during your time here and also some of the challenges you've seen?
With case management and HealthSouth, we're all about that successful discharge. We want to make sure that our patients have the best stay at HealthSouth, but also once they come here, they have no anxieties of what's going to happen after HealthSouth. So as case managers, we make sure that we connect with those families from day one. We take all those worries away. We set up the referral services for afterwards, if it's home health, if it's outpatient, if it's caregiver services. We make sure that those patients are very well taken care of for when they leave. The most recent success that we had, we have successes every single day. The home health companies do provide me information after our patients leave. So I'm well aware of what's going on with them, making sure that they're staying out of the hospital if they need our help with any of the services that we've set up for them. One recently is we had a patient who was out of her home for approximately 9 months.
Okay.
In between skilled nursing facilities, acute hospitals, long-term cares, HealthSouth. So when she came back, we wanted to make sure that we got her back home.
Right.
The only thing that was standing in her way was she could not get up her stairs in order to get into her house.
Okay.
So we wrote letters to some of the local stores in Mesa area, and we found one place who was able to donate lots of lumber and all the materials that were able to build her ramp. And then we contacted the community, and the community had a bunch of people come together and volunteer to build the ramp.
Wow.
With some of our staff's help. So she got home after 9 months. She's been successful. Home health comes in and provides treatment, and she's in a good place.
That's a really neat story, and it's neat to see the community come together for that. And very, very touching. Now, working with the community, was there anything in that letter? I mean, I've never heard of a story like this before, at least recently. What was in the letter that you think helped? With what can you share with the audience in case they wanted to do the same thing?
First, you need to know who to go to in the stores. For like the material is probably the most pricey.
Okay.
So you just start reaching out to your local Lowe's, Home Depot's, anyone who might have that material. You write a letter. Most of the time, they're willing to help out their community. So you follow up with the manager. You make those connections, and they're going to be helping you with other patients in the future.
Awesome. Thank you. Now let's go over to Diana. So Diana, you're out in the community quite a bit, I guess, in your role, interacting with various healthcare professionals. When you go out there and people say, hey, you know, HealthSouth, you know, we're interested in working with you. Why should we work with you? What do you guys do well?
gosh, it's a long list. So I'll kind of go with the top 10 list and the spirit of Dave Letterman in the top 10 list.
All right.
But I mean, there are certain things that set an acute rehab hospital like HealthSouth apart from other entities that call themselves rehab. Rehab is kind of a broad term that gets used a lot of ways. And what happens is if you're, you know, a mom and pop down the street, the word rehab means to you a place where I go to get therapy. But there are big differences in the types of rehabs you go to. So there's our skilled nursing that does rehab, and there's a place for all of us in the healthcare continuum. But for certain types of patients, patients that have had strokes, patients that are multi-traumas, patients that have brain injuries, hip fractures, if it were my mom and dad or someone I cared about, there is a place for those patients that they need to go, which is acute rehab. And acute rehab has proven outcomes that show that an intense short-term stay at an acute rehab gets the patient home quicker, in better condition, and keeps them out of the hospital. And it's because we are actually licensed as a hospital.
Okay.
So being licensed as a hospital requires you to hold yourself to a standard through CMS that other entities aren't required to hold themselves to.
Right.
So we're staffed by all registered nurses. Our acuity, or our staffing, how we staff how many nurses per patients, is actually a hospital level staffing.
Okay.
Our physicians see our patients every day here, and actually they see two different types of physicians. They see a physical medicine and rehab doc. We call them a PM&R.
Okay.
And then they also see an internal medicine doctor. So the whole goal is coordinated, individualized care specific to that patient with the goal of getting them home. But with my staff and I, although my title is director of marketing operations, it usually leads you to think that, you know, I'm out, you know, going to lunches and events and talking. But the people that are on my team are actually clinicians as well. So when we have a patient to go see, whether it's in an acute care hospital or at home, and we can talk about that too, we're actually required to go out and do a comprehensive pre-screen, and we're looking at everything from medications to recent procedures to other medical conditions. But what we are also doing out there is identifying right up front the barriers that could prevent a patient from going home, and then we immediately take that information and communicate it to Natasha and her team, because their goal before the patient even hits the door is to start to eliminate barriers to going home. Because with acute rehab, our goal is home. That is actually how CMS scores us and grades us, is by how many patients come through our door and what percentage actually goes straight home from us. So home is always our goal, and we do it better than anyone.
Okay, so let's talk about the patient flow from point of injury or point of acute hospitalization. Can either of you share with me what is, like, if we can visualize, once they're admitted to a local hospital, not, let's say, not directly to HealthSouth, but to a more commonly known type of hospital.
A major medical center.
Major medical center. Thank you. They get admitted, and if you think that type of patient would come here, what's the flow? They get admitted. They're there for how long? What's a common injury? Can you kind of walk through an example?
So I'll give you, let's talk about a stroke, because we're actually a Joint Commission certified stroke center. So we see a huge amount of strokes. So generally, a couple of things happen. You have a patient who has a stroke and goes immediately to the hospital, and they are either getting TPA, which is a medication that's provided to the patient at the time that can actually lessen the symptoms of a stroke.
Okay.
Or patients have gone too long or outside of their window. But anyway, they are basically diagnosed with stroke there via CT or MRI. They're generally stabilized medically, provided a small amount of therapy. And then at that point, either the physician who's a neurologist or the case managers or even the therapists start making a recommendation about where the patient needs to go next. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, gosh, if I have a stroke, I have to be in the hospital for a long time. It's a serious event. But actually, the quicker a stroke leaves a major medical center and comes to acute rehab, the greater the chance of actual functional return. So generally, if you have had a stroke, you may only have been in the hospital for 3 days, given that you're stable. You come right to acute rehab. The goal is we start that intense physical, occupational, and speech therapy with the goal of maximizing that functional return as quick as possible.
Okay, so with that example, patient has a stroke. They get admitted to a general
medical center.
3 days, potentially just there for 3 days. They get stabilized. Then they get admitted or transitioned over Sorry, go ahead.
Right. So a case manager will generally contact one of my liaisons, and our liaisons are clinical in nature.
Yep.
They are actually at the bedside of the patient, meeting with the patient. They're screening them, and they're actually determining that they're appropriate, and we're gathering all the information that, that the teams here at the hospital need to be able to treat the patient, and also that case management needs to transition the patient home.
Okay.
So we actually, not only do we screen the patient and meet with them at bedside, we work on the admission orders. We send all the clinical information in, and then our hospital even sets up the transportation, does their insurance authorization. So once a referral is made to us, we basically pick that up and we bring the patient all the way through to admission.
Okay, so patient gets admitted here or at one of your campuses at Health South here in the Maricopa area, I guess we can say. Then that patient who's at the hospital for 3 days, what is kind of like a general stay here or length of stay, I guess, for that stroke patient? Natasha?
It all determines on how severe the stroke is, if there's other things involved with the patient medically that we need to address. So it could be approximately, it's usually 10 to 14 days.
Okay.
But I have seen patients with the more severe strokes that do get authorized up until 30 days.
Okay. Very good. And then what's a common discharge? So what type of services does maybe a stroke patient or a common patient here receive once they leave?
Again, we want it to be a safe discharge and we want it to be back home. So we set up the primary care first appointment so the patient can see their primary care within 7 to 10 days of discharge.
So your team does that before they leave?
Yes.
Excellent.
We make sure that they have transportation to get there. So if it's Dial-A-Ride or any other community transportation, we make sure that they have it.
Okay.
And then we also set up home health services or outpatient services depending on where the patient is wanting to go. It is primarily the patient's choice, but also a medical choice because unfortunately sometimes those stroke patients don't aren't able to drive right afterwards. So
right.
Home health is going to be the most medical reasoning on the referral service. And we set all that up. We get their equipment for them. So if they're needing wheelchairs, front-wheeled walkers, whatever they need, we get for them before they leave the hospital.
Okay, very good. And I know we've talked about this off air, but tell us about your abilities to follow patients once they're discharged and your responsibilities for their recovery once they go home.
We do provide a 4-day follow-up phone call, and then if necessary, we continue to provide those phone calls until they are at a place that they no longer need to be checked in. My home health companies, my preferred providers, follow up with me on how they are doing.
Okay.
So we know if they've been readmitted or not readmitted. And then from there, if they are needing additional support or maybe another check-in, to get reassessed, then I would contact my admissions team, and then the admissions team would go out and look.
Yeah, and Dinah, go ahead.
I think something notable, too, that not a lot of people in the healthcare world even understand is that we're licensed as a hospital. So, of course, hospitals, the goal is preventing readmissions. I mean, that's why we're all here and why we're talking.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't understand, and when they hear we're a hospital, especially if you're a home health company or a skilled nursing facility and you have a patient who maybe is not doing as well as you hope they would be, and the home health is in the home seeing them, the goal is to keep them out of the hospital, but what people don't realize is we're actually a great resource because although we're a hospital and patients can be screened in the home and can readmit here or admit here from home or from skilled nursing, acute rehab hospitals like HealthSouth are actually exempt from the readmission penalties under CMS guidelines.
Ah.
So a readmission or admission to us from home or skilled nursing is actually not a penalty under CMS guidelines.
Excellent.
So that's also a message we're trying to get out because you know, we want patients to go home. We want them to do well. But if they're being seen in the home and maybe patients having falls or maybe they're having possibly a recurrent stroke or TIAs, we can actually go to the home, screen the patient and actually bring them in from the home because they don't need a traditional ER visit or an acute care hospital stay, a 3-midnight stay under Medicare. They can actually admit right to us from home or skilled nursing.
Yeah. Well, it's a message I know getting out is it's I think our culture, right, over the last century or whatever it's been, is it's all about the emergency department. So I've been hearing a lot about that, and hopefully physicians are comfortable making those choices as well, which I know can be a challenge at times.
Right.
For change. I mean, just to get anybody to change is difficult. So my own family, I mean, urgent care, what's that, right? great point. Natasha, you talked about, you know, home health agencies and skilled nursing as well. Diana touched on that also. The companies that you do, you know, if the patient says, hey, give me a short list, give me my choices, what do I have available to me? Organizations that you might have on your list that you give to a patient that they can choose from, what are you looking for in a provider?
I go straight to Medicare.gov. I copy the list down on the 5-star rating.
Okay.
And they get the ratings right there. So our list contains of how many stars that home health has,
okay,
what Medicare has, and then I give them the website so they can go and look at the quality and some of the other compliance ratings that Medicare looks at in order to give that 5-star rating.
Okay.
But they do get a 3-page list that has all the home health companies, but beside each company and the address and the name is the rating that Medicare has given them.
So there's a little bit of guidance there for them, which right. is good for them to be educated. Now, you touched on the word compliance, which can be a touchy word, we've learned, in the healthcare realm. And it's something that is a big focal point or adherence to a care plan, we can say as well. Tell us a little bit, and this could be for either one of you. How are you seeing success, or maybe how are you overcoming some challenges with some of your patients when they go home and they're maybe resistant to a care plan? How do you overcome that?
Well, I think Natasha touched kind of on a little bit of it, but for us, it's that follow-up. We always tell patients when they leave us, you might be going home, but we're kind of like a bad fungus. Like, we're going to stick around for a while. We're Funny. Going to be calling to check on you. The resources post-acutely that are going to be seeing you in the home are also going to be in touch with us. They're going to be letting us know, did you get your prescription refilled? If not, why? Is it a transportation issue? Is it a financial issue? And a really great thing that we do here at East Valley is we have an on-site pharmacy and pharmacists on staff.
Oh, cool.
And so medication reconciliation is actually a huge part of successful discharge.
Yeah.
Our pharmacists are very, very involved while the patients are here, but also on the back end, because what's important is a physician can write a list of medications that they want the patient to go home on, but if our pharmacist looks at them and says, wow, this, you know, particular medication is $300 a month, this one is $200 a month, what happens when patients can't afford their meds? They're not going to refill them because they can't pay for them.
Absolutely.
So here on the front end, for example, our pharmacist actually tries to find formulary changes or generics that the patient can actually go home on. She can also find, you always hear about coupons or help through actual drug companies that help patients who can't afford their medications. That's something that really sets us apart, that our pharmacists do on the front end so that patients can go home and actually afford their medications. It's such a big deal. You know, if you're a stroke and you can't afford the medication that prevents you from further stroke,
yeah,
we're not doing you a lot of good if you've come here for 20 days of rehab and then we know we're sending you home and you're not going to be able to afford your own medication. So that's a lot of what Natasha and our pharmacists and our physicians do on the front end to make sure that patients can be compliant. That's what keeps patients out of the hospital.
Great. I appreciate the clear response there, Diana. So last question we have on our episode today is, we're starting to see more and more healthcare at home. We've talked about it already. Besides traditional, you know, home health or DME, where do you see other support systems playing a role, like maybe assisted living communities, private duty home care, or caregiver agencies? How are your thoughts on those type of services? Do you think they can be a benefit? Take it from there. They're nodding at each other. Like, who's going to take?
We both want to talk, so we're rock paper scissoring over here for the response.
Well, coming from the community mental health background, I am a very strong believer that a person will succeed and flourish more in their own home environment. The more changes that they have in that medical episode that yeah. they're having is going to cause more cognitive delay. So you definitely want them to get from hospital to home as quickly as possible.
Right.
So if that's going to be another change, because a lot of times our patients come and they're right in the middle of the family is trying to consider, is it safe for mom to be home by herself anymore, or is it time for her to get into an assisted living? And that's a very difficult conversation to have with your parent or your loved one.
Absolutely.
So this is kind of a nice transition. When they're here, the case manager kind of takes on that you can blame us.
Yeah.
And we come in and we say, you know, it's about time for mom to maybe start looking into another place, you know, besides staying by yourself.
Yeah.
And that way it takes the friction out of the family environment of the parent not wanting to leave their house. And yeah, it's us making that recommendation that they're no longer able to be safe in their home. We only want that one more final move. So we want to find them the best place possible. So we are partnered, or we use placement locators.
Okay.
There's various ones out there in the community that come in and they assess the patient and the family. They get down how much they can afford, where they want to be in the community. And they go out and they can find anything from group homes to assisted livings that can wrap that patient pretty tight with support services.
Right.
So we have been utilizing that a lot lately.
Okay.
That's the best kind of case scenario for a patient, because yeah, the worst thing that we want to do is have three more placements, a skilled nursing facility, yeah, and then they're there for 100 days and then the family doesn't know what to do with them. Yeah. And we would much rather have that success go right into a community assisted living or a group home.
Awesome. So I've seen a lot of funding slowly shift, where there's different pilots in different areas where we see government funding actually giving revenue towards board and cares to support some of these patients' transitions rather than to a custodial care in a SNF or maybe at home with a risk of bouncing back. So it's neat to see, you know, kind of the more non-medical support systems receive some attention as they are a solution to some of these problems. We are about to wrap up our episode today. In about 30 seconds, we'll start with you, Diana. If there's one takeaway with what HealthSouth is doing well, what you're hoping the audience can take away from today's episode, what would you share?
I think the most important thing is that regardless of what choice you make, if you're in the hospital, you have a choice. Regardless of what anyone else tells you, be educated about what your options are and know that there are different levels of care and there are higher levels of care, like a HealthSouth. And be educated, know what your options are. Don't wait until you've had, you know, a horrible event and you're not even in a position to make such an important decision.
Yeah.
Know what your benefits are, know what's out there in the community so that when the time does come, which we hope it doesn't, that you're able to make an informed decision.
Well said. Natasha?
I would say if kind of going back on what Diana was saying, come and tour us. You know, if you are in that situation and you don't know what's the best place for your parents or your spouse, you know, you can always come by, look us up on the internet, and see for yourself if this is a great fit. We are like family to your
yeah,
family. We will refer our own parents here because we know that we provide the best care in the Valley. And I truly believe that. HealthSouth, East Valley HealthSouth is one amazing place to work, but we treat everybody like they are our relatives, so they do get the best care.
Very good. And my understanding is a lot of our audiences are healthcare professionals, and you'd extend that invitation to them as well. Is that correct?
Correct.
Very good. Well, again, thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to be here at HealthSouth here in the East Valley in Maricopa County area in Arizona. And again, just want to thank Diana Fisher, the Director of Marketing Operations for HealthSouth East Valley, as well as Scottsdale Rehab Hospitals, as well as Natasha Berman-Clyer, the Director of Case Management for the East Valley campus. Thanks so much, and stay tuned for the next episode. Take care.